I also would like to welcome all of you this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Also this morning we have come here to hear what the Lord has to say unto us through His Word. Let us start by singing together from this little booklet. Song 21, Rock of Ages cleft for me. Hymn number 21. Let us also sing number 32, song 32, Nearer, My God, to Thee, hymn number 32.
Thank you.
Thank you. I believe this is all our longing. This is also the reason why we have come here, to come closer to the Lord, because we know His coming is near, and we have to be drawn very close to Him, so that when He comes, that He can receive us. Now, before we pray, we would like to read a couple of verses from James chapter 5. James chapter 5 from verse 7, a couple of verses. James 5 from verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the farmer waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and has long patience for it, until it receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the return of the Lord has come near. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Amen. Let us stand up. Let us call upon the name of the Lord. We have a prayer request for Sister Weiss. We will include her in our prayer. Lord Jesus, praise, honor, and glory be to you for your faithfulness. Yes, you are daily faithful to us. Yes, Lord, we have come by your grace to this place to hear what you have to say to us through your word. Lord, I'm asking you, open our ears, Lord, so that it falls into our open hearts, that it brings forth fruit for the honor of your name. Lord, I ask you, bless the lips through which you will speak, Lord. Open our ears, Lord, so that we receive what you have to say unto us. And I'm asking you, Lord, for the Sister Weiss. May you move your arm and touch her for the glory of your name, but also all the others who are not named by name now. May you move and stretch forth your arm for the glory of your name. Be blessed and praised for your faithfulness and grace in your precious and wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. We sing, They Come From the East and West. Let us sing, Come from on high, come Spirit of the Lord. This is the day. I love Him. Amen. You may be seated. You were already welcomed, and we greet in particular all who are newly added, who perhaps are here today for the first time. God bless you in a special way. The Lord calls out the last ones. He knows where they are. He knows who they are. And the last message was of course given for the purpose so that the last ones are being called for the great marriage feast of the Lamb. And we really hope that all, also all those who are coming from various churches, that they understand us, and that they understand God, that they understand the counsel of God by His grace. We don't say that we are alone right, and we testify out of conviction that God, also, especially since the Reformation, that He has given revivals by His grace. There was the breakthrough about 500 years ago, and after that, there were the various revivals, and in every revival, it were the elect who listened to the message which was preached, which believed it, whether it was the doctrine of justification, whether then the doctrine of sanctification, and then the doctrine about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and of fire. Always the elect at their time, they heard it, and they believed it. And so, it is also written in Romans chapter 11. The elect part has obtained it. All the others were hardened, and therefore it is written, do not harden your hearts. And if we in this time, if we put the emphasis upon the promises which God has given to the church, really for the final round, then we have to do it. This is our holy duty, not only to look on that, what God did 2,000 years ago, what He did in the past 500 years. It is our holy duty to inform the people of God to bring them up to date in the kingdom of God, and to bring the message of the hour with all the promises which God has given. We have also today, we have a larger number of phone calls. Australia, South Africa, USA, Canada, Finland, Ukraine, Bucharest, from all over. The brethren were either phoning us or they wrote us emails. They are joined with us. And we will today, we will again put the word of the hour again upon the lampstand. And we ask you, that what our Lord said in Mark chapter 4 of the fourfold field, that we take care that our hearts are a prepared ground. It's of course not only about the seed. The seed is precious. The seed is the word of God. But what is with our ground of our heart? The fourfold field is being shown to us there. How is it with your heart? How is it with my heart? Is it pure of all things? Can we receive the word so that it brings forth hundredfold fruit? May God give grace to it. Now, we will have a child dedication, and afterward we will ask our two sisters to sing a song, and then we will ask Brother Gilles Song and Brother Daniel to once again pray with us, and then we will go into our word observation with a request to God that He is gracious to us. Really gracious. As written in Exodus 33, if I have found grace in your sight, let me know thy ways. So that I know thereby, that I really found grace in thy sight. And this is our heart's desire today and until the Lord returns, as we have heard it in the word of introduction. The return of the Lord is very near. We stand up and we sing a chorus. Let's say, only believe, only believe. And we ask that the family comes to the front and that we can have the child dedication. Dear Lord, you ever faithful God, we consecrate unto you Henrik very consciously. And I thank you that also both parents are here today. Our precious brother and sister Findling, our brother and sister Kek, and you blessed both. And we ask you now, bless this son which you have given to our precious brother and sister. We dedicate him unto you. You have taken the children into your arms. You loved them and you blessed them. And you said, for of such is the kingdom of God. You have drawn both families unto yourself, and you blessed them. And so we pray you that this son, Henry, is blessed and dedicated unto you for time and for eternity. Blessed be the whole family in Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Go in peace. God has blessed. God has blessed you. Amen.
Es dein treuer Gott auf ewig sein. Lass die Hand in stillem Fleiß wirken nur auf dein Geheiß. Wasche mich in Jesu teurem Blut, in der Gnade reinigenden Flut. Herr, nur dir allein will ich mein Leben weihen. Jetzt und ewig bin ich dein. Lass das Wort des Mundes rein, voll von deiner Wahrheit sein. Dein sei Ehre, Gut und Glück. Herr, ich halte nichts zurück. Wasche mich in Jesu teurem Blut, in der Gnade reinigenden Flut. Herr, nur dir allein will ich mein Leben weihen. Jetzt und ewig bin ich dein. Dieses Lebens flüchtige Zeit, deinem Preis sei sie geweiht. Brauche hier im Kampf der Welt Geist und Sinn, wie dir's gefällt. Wasche mich in Jesu teurem Blut, in der Gnade reinigenden Flut. Herr, nur dir allein will ich mein Leben weihen. Jetzt und ewig bin ich dein. Auch mein Wille, Herr, soll dein, ganz und gar dein eigen sein. Nimm mein Herz, o Gottes Sohn, weihe es zu deinem Thron.
Amen.
Wasche mich in Jesu teurem Blut, in der Gnade reinigenden Flut. Herr, nur dir allein will ich mein Leben weihen. Jetzt und ewig bin ich dein.
Wir singen alle mit.
Wasche mich in Jesu teurem Blut, in der Gnade reinigenden Flut. Herr, nur dir allein will ich mein Leben weihen. Jetzt und ewig bin ich dein.
Dankeschön, Dankeschön.
Ja.
Ja, Bruder Hermann. Tatăl nostru, Domnul nostru și Dumnezeul nostru, te lăudăm și te binecuvântăm în scumpul nume al Domnului Iisus.
Our Father, our Lord, we thank you and we praise you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that this is the day which you made for us, for your people. We believe this is the place for, as you promised, for your holy word, so that the saints are gathered from all over, that they might receive a heavenly food. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for Calvary, for the shed blood. We thank you that you have drank the cup for us. You have drank the cup of death so that we can drink the cup of blessing. Lord, you also looked on us. You have chosen your people which will carry your name. We thank you that you have sent a famine to hear your word. But you also have prepared a food for your people. We thank you, Lord, that you have chosen a servant whom, so that your household, so that your people have no lack. We praise you and honor you, our Lord and our God. Today, on this day, fulfill our hearts, confirm thy word, and lead by your Holy Spirit. Reveal thy mysteries, share and divide your word. May your word not return void, but may it accomplish that for what you have sent it for. Praise, honor unto your name, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ we pray it. Amen.
Notre Seigneur et notre Dieu, nous te remercions, Seigneur, pour ce privilège que toi, tu nous accordes, Seigneur, en ce jour, pour venir écouter ta parole, Seigneur. Nous te remercions pour les sacrifices qui a été accompli là-bas à Golgotha. Seigneur, la rédemption est une réalité. Nous te remercions pour toutes ces souffrances, Seigneur, que tu as consenties pour nous. Pour nous qui étions perdus, nous qui étions les enfants d'hommes, tu nous as fait devenir les enfants de Dieu. Seigneur, nous te remercions pour tout cela. Et c'est toi, Seigneur Jésus-Christ, qui a dit que tout est accompli. Notre Dieu, nous sommes très reconnaissants pour ce que toi, tu as accompli pour nous. Et toi, Jésus-Christ, tu as dit aussi que les élus ne seront jamais séduits. C'est toi qui nous accordes ce privilège de venir à cet endroit, d'écouter la parole qui est dispensée droitement. Vraiment, Seigneur, parce que toi, tu veux à ce que la vérité soit gravée dans notre cœur. Et nous croyons que c'est ta vérité qui délivre. Notre Dieu, nous te remercions de ce que toi, tu nous as montré la voie dans laquelle toi, tu marches avec ton peuple. Et c'est toi qui conduis ton peuple, Seigneur. C'est ainsi que nous nous remettons à toi pour que ce que toi, tu as commencé, Seigneur, que tu puisses l'achever.
Amen.
Seigneur Jésus-Christ, toi, tu es l'époux parole et tu veux effectivement avoir ton épouse qui est l'épouse parole. Seigneur, fais retentir encore ta parole ce matin, comme tu nous as parlé déjà puissamment hier soir. Seigneur, que tu renouvelles encore ce matin que tu utilises toujours ton serviteur et que ta parole puisse tomber du trône de la grâce et qu'elle puisse trouver toute sa place, Seigneur, dans notre cœur. Seigneur, que nos cœurs soient préparés, que nos cœurs puissent être complètement à toi, afin que toi, tu puisses y semer ta semence. Nous nous attendons à toi. Accomplis ta volonté encore aujourd'hui en chacun de tes élus, car c'est dans les noms du Seigneur et Sauveur Jésus-Christ que nous t'avons prié. Amen.
Amen. Amen. A powerful prayer. Everything was said. It's a pity that I didn't translate it. Let us sing a chorus. Only believe, only believe. You may be seated. Today, we will not go into the timely events. Last night, we of course mentioned some things. Today, it's only the question whether we have brothers and sisters in our midst who wish to be baptized biblically, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then, today, after this service, we have the possibility to do so. Of course, on our Blessed Israel trip, we had the privilege to baptize 5 people in the River Jordan. It's always nice, if brothers and sisters are dedicating their lives to the Lord and are adding to their faith the obedience, because the obedience, it's all about Abraham believed God, and Abraham was obedient when the Lord God told him, take thy only son, whom you love, and sacrifice him on the mountain which I will show thee. Not only believing in the promises, and then the fulfillment, to see the fulfillment with one's own eyes, to hold it on one's arms, but then to do in obedience what the Lord commanded. And so the baptism belongs to the faith. Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Yes. And whoever does not believe, and whoever does not let himself be baptized, what happens with him? You can all read it. All you can read it. There's absolutely no room for one's own decisions. Own decisions are self-will, and self-will is as the sin of witchcraft. We, as the children of God, are not making our own decisions anymore. We are submitting into that what God, according to His will, has decided for us already. This is obedience. And when our two sisters were singing the last stanza, I was thinking on Mark chapter 3, Mark 3, verse 35. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and mother. So, it's all about that we with all our hearts are doing the will of God. Ezra said, today we have the possibility that you can be baptized biblically. Now to our word observation, I have two scriptures from the book of Revelation, and then we will add the other scriptures to it. It's of course really about that the bride church is aware of her high calling before God. A higher calling does not exist than the bride of the Lamb, to be the bride of the Lamb. A higher calling does not exist than to be present at the marriage supper of the Lamb and to be with the Lord forever. And we must and we may receive this high calling, and not only let it be like a high calling, but let it be also an election, to make our election and calling sure, as Paul has written. In Revelation chapter 21, we have these wonderful words, Revelation 21, verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Before the marriage, it's the bride. After the marriage, it is the wife of the Lamb. Also here we have the precise designation in the Holy Scripture. Brothers and sisters, God is very precise. Happy are we if we are led by the Holy Spirit, and that we can see everything by grace. Then, chapter 22, and here it's verse 16. Revelation 22, verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. Verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. As our brother expressed in his prayer, we are coming together to be fed, to receive drink. We are coming together so that God can speak to us, and so that we can come closer to him. If we look into the Holy Scripture, and this we want to do today, how did it start? How did the New Testament start? How will it end? That's what's all about. And not what I say or somebody else says. No. What does the Holy Scripture say? And then comes also the main thought to it. According to Acts chapter 1, the Lord spent 40 days with his disciples, talking with them about the kingdom of God. And only then one could give a whole summary, the four Gospels, writing them about all that, what since the birth up to the ascension of our Lord took place. Let me say it honestly here. At that time, when Brother Branham carried out his ministry in the commission of God, he didn't mention all the scriptures which referred to his ministry. And why not? Because it is written, whoever gives witness of himself, his testimony is not true. Also here one has to be precise. Brother Branham never mentioned Matthew 17, verse 11, not a single time. And it's the main confirmation in the New Testament from the mouth of our Lord. Verily, Elijah comes first and restores all things. Why not? He couldn't testify of himself. I may do it. I can say today, our Lord fulfilled the promise, confirmed the promise. And we are not only speaking of the Mount of Transfiguration and about that Moses and Elijah appeared and that the three apostles were together with our Lord. It's just about what the Lord said then, what he said afterward. Verily, Elijah comes first and shall restore all things. The same way, Mark chapter 9, verse 12, Brother Branham never mentioned it, not a single time. The most important two scriptures in the New Testament, which speak of that ministry which God wanted to send and which he had sent before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. I have to do it. I may not only do it, I have to do it. Because I have to base everything upon the Holy Scripture. And the Spirit of truth leads into all truth. Brother Branham, Acts 3, verse 17, he never mentioned it one single time, that Christ remains in heaven until the time of restoration. I have to do it. I have to say it because it's written and it speaks of the end time, and then in particular that our Lord remains in heaven until the times of the restitution of all that what God spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from the very beginning. And then we make the bridge to what Peter has written. We have a more sure word of prophecy, which we take heed to as unto a bright shining light, which shines in a dark place. Brothers and sisters, I don't know whether you can follow me, whether you can really understand what is happening in me, how much clarity God has given by his grace, and all the details he revealed, and giving us the most deep insight into the plan of salvation of our God, the ever faithful God has given to us in this time by his grace. And this really humbles us under the mighty hand of our God. And we say very loud and silent, thy will be done, as in heaven, so also on the earth. Why? Because God has revealed his will to us from his word. And then we also recognize the difference between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Let us be honest. The spirit of truth is only with those who were born of the truth, born again unto a living hope by the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And as God at the beginning separated the light from darkness, so God said it in the second epistle of Corinthians from chapter 6 from verse 14. What kind of communion has the light with darkness? How does Christ agree with Belial? And we don't, we are not violent to the word if we say, what has the spirit of truth to do with the spirit of error? Nothing, absolutely nothing. And therefore, the church consciously, very consciously, she must be placed under the leading of the Holy Spirit. And it's just necessary that we say that we have an inner agreement to every word, because only then it is being revealed to us by His grace. Let us look up the Gospel of Luke just to show us in a couple of minutes to show us how it started, namely in a supernatural way. But now it comes, namely the wonderful, the fulfillment of Bible prophecy, which the announced plan of salvation became a divine reality. I will not read all the verses now, but Luke chapter 1, verse 11. An angel appeared unto him on the right side of the altar of incense. Men of God, who had supernatural experiences with God, they knew when it happened, where it happened, and everyone knew what he was told. And if you read on, especially in verse 54 and 55 in Luke chapter 1, here it says, in reference to the yesterday, which we looked at yesterday, the word, Luke 1, verse 54 and 55, He has helped His servant Israel. In remembrance of His mercy, as He spake to our fathers. Hallelujah! Praise and thanks be unto our God, as He spake to our fathers, as He promised to Abraham and to his seed forever. So, not only for that time, but for that time and for all the times until eternity, God has taken the responsibility for every promise. And happy are we, blessed are we, if it can be said of us, as of Mary. We are writing it in the last circular letter, and I hope that all in the German, English and French language, and in other languages, have already the circular letter, that of all of us it can be said, like written here in verse 45, Luke 1, 45. Blessed is she who believed. For there shall be always promise. For there shall be a fulfillment of the promises which were given to her by the Lord. How could it be different? How could it be otherwise? We could read now all the other scriptures to it, and we can deepen ourselves in it. Verse 67, verse 68. And his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. Right to the kernel of the matter, not bypassing God. No, that what happened at that time, just he spoke it out, just speaking it out under the leading and inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Then, in verse 76 and 78, and thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. A true man of God, that's how we said it many times, prepares not his own way, does not blow his own trumpet, does not present himself. A true man of God prepares the way of the Lord. And as written, take away all the obstacles so that the glory of the Lord can be manifested. Verse 77, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people. To give knowledge of salvation on the day of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. And if we then go to Acts chapter 10, then Peter, right, he took the words here, and he proclaimed to the people, Acts chapter 10, from verse 41, not to all the people, but unto us, the witnesses chosen before God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. Brothers and sisters, we can hardly imagine this, what it meant for our brothers at the beginning, to see the Lord after the resurrection. He came into their midst and he said, Peace be unto you. And Thomas, he was even allowed to put his hand into his side and he could cry out, My Lord and my God. After the resurrection, no other designation for our Lord was used, but only the Lord. Only Lord. You can read it up. Not once son of David or mediator, not advocate, no. But the Lord is alive. The Lord is risen. The Lord appeared unto us. He is the Lord, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, who has overcome. As lamb he died, and he has shed his blood. As lion he has overcome, and he has conquered. And we may overcome together with him and conquer together with him. Time and again, always, all these designations in the Holy Scripture have their place. And then in Isaiah 43, we have once again the reference to the word which we already looked at, Isaiah 43. Verse 8, in reference to 42, verse 18 and 19. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf that have ears. And our Lord said it in the prophet Isaiah. He said it very clearly. They have ears and they don't hear. They have eyes and don't see. And then our Lord says to his own, blessed are your ears and your eyes, for they hear and for they see. Who is blessed today? I'm asking you. Who is proclaimed blessed by the Lord today? All those who are hearkening to that, what the Spirit is saying unto the churches by the Word, all those who have the Spirit of truth and who by the Spirit of truth are led into all the truth. As it is also written, you can read it. Matthew 13, from verse 13 up to 16, there it is referred to the Old Testament word. Brothers and sisters, if we speak about the preparation, about the calling out, then the moment comes where we also have to address the personal things, as they were addressed also in the Holy Scripture. It's not enough that we speak about the plan of salvation, that we set it forth 100%. The guarantee that we are part of it, this we want to have. Not so. So that our life really is in full agreement and conformity with God and with God's Word. By his grace. And it's about 15 words and terms from Galatians 5. We took it out from the computer and then we compared it with the 9 fruits of the Spirit. I have a printout here. Manifested are the works of the flesh. And then, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. One may not make the narrow way to the broad way. One may not take a risk, never asking, how far can I go? No, how far can I make distance from Please forgive me, but that's how it is written. Manifested are the works of the flesh. It starts with sexual immorality. And then it says, whoever does such things in his life, he will never see the kingdom of God. And then it becomes serious. Then it becomes very serious. Everything that is not in conformity with God. Then comes, what are these fruits? I don't know. Galatians 5. I've put up Galatians 4. Galatians 5. I don't know whether the translator has found it. All the list here. It's before me here. We have the holy duty to warn us, to make us aware that also the personal life is in agreement with God and his word. Let us read it. And let each one examine himself. And let himself be placed by the Holy Scripture. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, licentiousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies,
neid, trunksucht, schwelgerei,
envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. I've told you that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And then it's compared with the fruit of the Spirit. Let us examine ourselves. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness. Against such fruits of the Spirit, there is no law. A whole list of scriptures could be read here now, where we look at the matter and where we can examine ourselves once again. Let us remember the epistles of the Apostle John. Whoever does not love his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. The love of God, which was manifested on the cross of Calvary, has to be in all the redeemed. It has to be manifested. The love, which doesn't accuse anything, which bears all things, which even can love the enemies. The divine love has to be manifested. And therefore, John writes also, don't love in the way of Cain, who was of the evil one, and who slew his brother. One can speak of love, and one can kill his brother. And then one can sing, oh, the Lord is coming very soon, hallelujah. Today, everything is being done, and today everything is covered up. No, I want that we are covered by the blood of the Lamb. Not just covering up everything and walking on. No, that everything was covered up by the blood of the Lamb. Full forgiveness, which we received, we can forgive everybody as God forgave us in Christ Jesus our Lord by His grace. Now, what was said last night concerning that, I would like to read from the book of Acts, chapter 15, to show us very briefly how it was in the days of the apostles, how it was done, what really happened there. There was a dispute, a question, and also this I say, without another thought, this dispute came not up because an apostle or prophet has preached or taught something. The dispute came up because believers came up who had no ministry at all. They brought disharmony. And then it says in verse 2 at the end that they came together and the apostles and the elders, they were speaking about this question. And do you know what is then written? And this is very important now. Most important thing. Verse 15. Acts 15, verse 15. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written. After this, I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David. Straight away, the commission based upon the Old Testament scripture. You know what it was all about here. Why do we do the same today? We have to. We have to refer to God's word. And at every decision, we must be able to say, to this agree the words of the apostles and prophets. That's how it was at the beginning. And that's how it will be today. And brothers and sisters, if we go to all the other comparisons, what do we have then? We have in the whole book of Acts, and then also in the epistles, we have a precise overall view how it was at the beginning. What was taught? One can then go up to the epistle to the Hebrews, where just everything in the various connections was set forth. Today, we have the advantage to have an overall view, an overall insight into all of the plan of salvation of our God. Why? Why did God say to Daniel, seal up the book until the end time? Of course, not forever, only until the end time. To then many will search in it, and by this knowledge shall increase. And with those who are of God, revelation will also increase. We are being led into the mysteries of God. How often Brother Branham also said this, many times he said it, that by that ministry which God had given to him, all the mysteries from Genesis up to Revelation 22 will be revealed or are revealed. One time he lists up 17 of these mysteries after one another. He lists them and he gives the scriptures to it. Brothers and sisters, we are a privileged people. We have the great privilege to live now and to be led now into everything. Now just be honest now. Is in all the revivals of the last 500 years the biblical doctrine about the Godhead, was it preached ever? Wonderful blessings, outpourings of the Holy Spirit. Everything wonderful. But did one say that God is only one? Did they not all believe in three persons? And nevertheless, the Spirit of God broke through time and again, and he gave new revivals by his grace. And now, just to be honest, if one just looks at the doctrine of the Trinity a bit closer, and then even knows that the Greeks, with their many gods and doctrines, of course they separated from the Jews, and they put the Old Testament aside, and they replaced the one God with a Trinity, but to do harm to God and to harm the Jews. You just have to read it once in church history. It's really a blasphemy to believe that God exists, that God has begotten a son in eternity. Where is it written in the Bible? Where? In not one single place. And the word Trinity is not written in the Bible. The word Triune God is not written in the Bible. The word Eternal Son is not written in the Bible. Nothing of all. What they invented, nothing is written in the Bible. And now the decision. The spirit of error and the spirit of truth. William Branham, as the prophet, as the man of God, he had a spirit of truth, and he had to put the biblical truths new upon the lampstand. And what was it? All the great evangelists who welcomed his ministry, because then they could build up their own ministry. And they reached the people. And then they said, it's a great man of God. He's a great man of God. And on the other side, they rejected him because he put the biblical doctrines upon the lampstand. And he also did it. He was commanded by God and he did it. The same about baptism. About the Trinitarian baptism. I looked it up. all the vows, when you enter the Masons, the Freemasons, there is the Bible open, there's a triangle, there's a circle, and the people have to swear in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Whoever wants to enter into any Mason lodge and all the Jesuits and all the orders. And then we read in the Bible that in Matthew 28, it's written of the name and baptize them into the name. Now, where is the name? If our Lord would have spoken out this name directly, then all would know the name. All would know the name today, and all would baptize biblically. And this may not be like this. God makes all things right. Don't you worry. God makes all things the right way. And Peter was, of course, present when the Lord taught his disciples. And when he then said, "To me is given all the power in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and teach all nations and baptize them in the name in which God revealed himself as Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." Can it be said more clearly? But we see here, the Spirit of truth leads into all the truth. And then Peter, on the day of Pentecost, under the leading of the Holy Spirit, he could cry out, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to confirm the remission of sins which we received by grace." And then it says in verse 41, "And as many as received his word were baptized, and 3,000 souls were added to the church." The biblical proclamation at the end of the time of grace was put anew upon the lampstand. And we are ready with the Bible in the hand in Rome or in Jerusalem to give answer to every question. But friends, let us say it once again. It has to be revealed. And about biblical subjects, one cannot discuss. Either one has the revelation or one has not it. Has it not? Therefore, if it shall be baptized, we don't want to force anybody. It must be laid by God into everyone's heart. We don't want to go into details here. I just want to say it once again. With all my heart, I want to emphasize it. It pleased God at the end of the time of grace to bring his church back to the beginning in full conformity with his precious and holy word. It's not only a message, it's a divine biblical message which we have to bring to the people of God by his grace. And I believe what Brother Branham said in his testimony, time and again, we emphasized it, as John the Baptist. And this brings us back to the beginning, to the direct beginning, when God made the new covenant, set it in force, and when the forerunner prepared the way of the Lord, so at the time of the end of the time of grace, it brings us also back to the beginning. And the end has to be like the beginning was. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. This is the one biblical baptism which we are carrying out as it was done at the beginning. And then Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, "Whosoever preaches another gospel let him be accursed. And then it becomes serious. Then it becomes serious, very serious. If we may speak it out here clearly, all who have an inner resistance, an inner opposition, they resist God. They reject his speaking. They are walking on their own ways. Blessed are the people of God. Blessed are all who are now really have understood that not people and their programs, but that God with his plan of salvation is at work amongst his people. We have another point which we have to illuminate to show how, for instance, the Old and New Testament was used, was applied in the prophet Malachi. It speaks of the great and terrible day of the Lord. In the New Testament, Peter exchanged the word terrible with the word glorious. He uses the same scripture in Acts 2, verse 20, as written in the prophet Malachi. It speaks of the terrible day. Sun shall lose its shine, and the moon shall be turned into blood. And then he doesn't use the word terrible, but he uses the word glorious. And then it was Paul who set forth this term, and time and again he spoke of the day of Jesus Christ. Also here, the wisdom of God is just perfect. Let us read quickly these scriptures, especially here in Acts chapter 2, which we are told here, Acts 2, verse 20. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and glorious day of the Lord come. In the Old Testament, the terrible day. What now? Both is right. Referred to the church, the glorious day, unto which we are waiting for, unto the day of Jesus, the return of Jesus Christ, the most wonderful day which God gives the church at the end of the time of grace. But the second part, which then applies for those who are not part of the rapture, then it becomes terrible. Glorious will then be over. Then it will be terrible. And mankind, the man shall cry to the hills and mountains, cover us before the wrath of the Lamb, before him who sits on the throne. Both is right, but please, both is written in the Bible, and this is important. I today would not have a right. I wouldn't have the right to change the word here. But God was taking care that everything was placed biblically, because in the Old Testament, the mystery of the church was not yet revealed at all. And then this lining, this setting forth in the New Testament of the glorious day. You can look up the scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. Here the Apostle Paul said it very clearly. And he actually, he made us aware. Let us read verse 7 and 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end. Amen. then that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not on the day of the Lord, on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, because the connection was established to the church. I just thank God for it. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Here the man of God, once again, he emphasized it, of what's all about. 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 14. As also ye have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours, in the day of our Lord Jesus. Philippians, chapter 1. Here Paul emphasized it a couple of times, namely of the day of Jesus Christ, upon which we are waiting for, the day of the return of the bridegroom to take the bride home. Philippians, chapter 1. Verse 6, and then verse 9 and 10. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. What are we waiting for? We are waiting unto the completion. And this completion has the goal to be part, to be ready at the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Everything is placed biblically, nicely. Then, verse 9 and 10. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Hear the day of the Lord, the terrible day. And then we can go to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, and then verse 9 and 10. The day of the Lord will come. It will burn as an oven. The day of the Lord, also in the New Testament, it's described just as in the Old. But here, God used Peter and Paul to set forth in what kind of connection the church is in connection with Jesus Christ, the day of Jesus Christ, and the return of Jesus Christ, the greatest and glorious day of our Lord. Everything was set forth. And I say it once again, I don't need to write any scripture in a different way. No, everything was written down already. Let us summarize it. There are so many scriptures which one could read. Let us summarize everything with Hebrews, chapter 10. Hebrews, chapter 10. Here we should start with verse 19 to 25. But let me first read the word from chapter 9, verse 14.
Denn durch eine einzige Darbringung hat die,
for by one sacrifice
von ihm heilige lassen,
no. Für immer ans Ziel. Chapter 10, verse 14. For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. If we are now gathered in the presence of God and as the blood-bought flock, if we are sanctified by the word of truth, then this word applies to us, that we are already perfected, as written in Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 27, that our Lord will present his church without spot and without wrinkle. He will present it unto himself. Brothers and sisters, as we always emphasized, full redemption, full forgiveness, eternal life we received by grace. What we are waiting for is the completion, which will then merge into the translation of our bodies, because that's what we're waiting for, upon the redemption of our bodies. The soul is redeemed. All damage has been made well. But we are waiting with our weak bodies unto the day of the day of